Hello there and welcome back. Yes, it's myself again, David Connolly, for the Archaeology, well, fortnightly, News Weekly, if there is such a thing. Anyway, of course, this news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages, the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources, and of course, Past Horizons. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on an all-important source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Well, what have we got for you this time? The Pretty Stone Circle. It's not a stone circle. Good grief, BBC. Please try and get it right. The Pretty Circle's vandal has been ordered to pay £10,000. Finds dating back to 6,000 BCE have been unearthed in Armenia. And an ancient tomb is found at Sweden's Stonehenge. Neanderthals, just like us? Well, we will find out in this report. And muddy lake bed sediments hold the Rosetta Stone of radiocarbon. What a superb title. Now, sad news, I'm afraid, is Salafists are blamed for destroying stone carvings and rock art in Morocco. But on better news, on a smaller scale, we've got an ancient burnt mound being unearthed in Scotland. Bigging up Scotland again, why is Orkney the centre of Neolithic Britain? We'll find out in this report. And we've got prehistoric artefacts excavated in Israel, and finish off with a Neanderthal trove in Madrid. A 73-year-old man who destroyed part of a 5,000-year-old henge monument in Somerset between April and October in 2011 has been ordered to pay £10,000. Roger Penny of Chewton Mendip appeared before Taunton Crown Court after he damaged one of the Pretty Circles, which is on his land. There's three of them, by the way. Penny has pleaded guilty to charges at an earlier hearing at South Somerset and Mendip Magistrates Court. He was fined £2,500 plus costs of £7,500 and has had to pledge up to £40,000 to help make the repairs. How exactly do you repair a Neolithic henge? Jeremy Wright, the recorder for the court, said that it was very sad to see a man of his age and good character before the court, but his actions may have led to significant archaeological information being lost. The significance and value has now been significantly damaged and diminished by what he has done. The Pretty Circles are believed to have been constructed around 5,000 years ago. They said the loss to the fabric of the henge, this is English heritage, makes it a disaster to understand Neolithic engineering. Not sure if English heritage understand Neolithic engineering either there. The damage included the destruction of a circular ditch which has been completely bulldozed and damage to the monument itself. English Heritage are still unsure whether the monument can be restored to its original condition. Now to Armenia. The excavation of 37 monuments in Armenia has been undertaken by the National Institute of Archaeology and Ethnology of the National Academy of Sciences of the Republic of Armenia. Whew, I'm exhausted by that one. I hope I'll have to do that again. And the results, according to them, are very satisfying. This year, they've carried out excavations at Masses Hill near Yerevan, which is a site dating back to the first half of the 6th millennium BCE. And of course, oh no, not again, grandly named, deep breath, director of the National Institute of Archaeology and Ethnology of the National Academy of Sciences of the Republic of Armenia, is continuing work at Areni Cave. Areni Cave is a fabulous site. You can Google that one. You'll find more, actually, on Past Horizons as well. It's where they've been finding the examples of very early wine making, and they've been finding these excellent preservation for example, the earliest shoe in the world. Well, work is continuing there, though currently they're moving away from the cave itself and focusing on the nearby settlement. So interesting news coming out of Armenia. Now to Sweden's Stonehenge. The Alistones, Alistener, is a megalithic monument sometimes referred to as Sweden's Stonehenge. I think actually Alistener is Swedish for overrated stones. No, come on, just kidding. They overlook the sea in southern Sweden. The 67-metre-long site consists of 59 large sandstone boulders weighing in at 1.8 tonnes each and arranged in the shape of a ship. So exactly like Stonehenge. According to Scandinavian folklore, the legendary king named King Eil lies buried there. Now, Swedish archaeologists have found what they believe is an imprint of a portal tomb, believed to be over 5,000 years old, quite near the Alice stones. The archaeologists also found, wait for it, a flint scraper. Björn Walborn of the Swedish National Heritage Board said that the find, to some extent, rewrites the history of the place. A group led by Svante Paabo of the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology analysed lengths of segments of Neanderthal DNA in modern humans to determine when Neanderthal genes may have mixed with those of modern humans. The date they came up with for the gene flow was between 37,000 to 86,000 years ago, and in fact they're saying more likely to be 47,000 to 65,000 years ago. This date strongly suggests that there was interbreeding when Homo sapiens moving from Africa encountered populations of Neanderthals in the Middle East. Another group determined that modern humans gained from Neanderthals a family of genes that helped the immune system fight off viruses. Short and sweet that story, but plenty there to discuss as the battle heats up between the out-of-Africa theorists and out-of-everywhere debate. Now to some mud in Japan could provide a very accurate way of calibrating radiocarbon dates. Every year for the last 60,000 years, a layer of algae formed on a lake bed in the mountains south of Nagano. Each layer included organic remains such as leaves and twigs. But Christopher Bronk Ramsey at the University of Oxford and his colleagues have analysed and managed to work out the carbon-14 content of each layer, a project that began more than a decade ago. What a job. Because counting the layers provides an independent way to establish exactly how old the organic remains are, the team used the information to work out exactly how much carbon-14 was in the atmosphere when the organic remains in each layer were trapped. We already have an independent carbon-14 record that came from analysing tree rings, but it only stretches back 12,655 years. Radiocarbon dating expert Paula Reimer, an archaeologist from Queen's University Belfast, says the accuracy with which we can determine an artefact's age could now be greatly improved. One of the joint leaders of the research, Takeshi Nagawa at Newcastle University, says that Lake Sugetsu data could help date artefacts that are 25,000 years old or even older to within a century, which is, for myself, a great breakthrough. Now, Muslim hardliners known as Salafis have been blamed for destroying ancient stone carvings in Tubkal National Park south of Marrakesh. Many of the rock engravings date back more than 8,000 years and include an image of the sun depicted as a god. One of the carvings, called the Plaque of the Sun, predates the arrival of the Phoenicians in Morocco, says Abu Bakr Anger of the Amagas League for Human Rights. The remote area is largely populated by Amazigh people, non-Arabic tribes who are indigenous to North Africa, who say that there's been a rise in the Salafist efforts to enforce a puritanical interpretation of Islam. The ultra-conservative interpretation of Sunni Islam strictly prohibits idolatry, and it's been gaining power in North Africa. The destruction of these carvings in Morocco follows an arson attack by Salafis on one of Tunisia's main Sufi mausoleums. Islamist fighters in Mali have been using pickaxes and shovels to damage the shrines of Muslim saints in the city of Timbuktu as well, as we reported back in June. Now to slightly happier news. Gordon Slight, project leader for archaeology and history group Historic Ascent in the Northwest Highlands, has reported that under a strange layer of clay, they came down to a 1.5 metre square, 1 metre deep, dug into the ground with a channel feeding water in from a nearby burn. By the way, burn, here's your lesson for the day, is a stream in Scots. This burn, water feeder, fed into the pit, which had three slabs in it, which might indicate that it was once actually lined with stone and clay. The find was made by the Fire and Water Project, which is run by Historic Ascent, while trying to understand what a crescent-shaped mound of stones had been created for. There was no animal bones or anything to suggest that it was used as a cooking site, however, and its size may make it well-nigh impossible to bring to boiling point. you know, the size of this pit, 1.5 metres by 1.5 metres by a metre deep, these sites have been seen as cooking facilities where you heat up the stones, drop them into the water, boils up the water, you can put your meat in there and cook. But the size of this does not look like that's what it's going to be. So what would they end up with? Well, if you actually only put a small amount of water in it, drop the hot stones in, then you could end up with a sauna or sweat lodge. The other possibilities, of course, do include cooking and feasting. There's another intriguing one, which the Irish have been looking at, is brewing beer as well. Such sites are very common in Ireland, are called burnt mounds, the crescent being formed from the discarded fire-cracked stones used for heating the water. Now, moving a little bit further north in Scotland, let's head up to Orkney. The Nessa Brodgar discoverer, Nick Card of the Orkney Research Centre for Archaeology, comments that what they've discovered, a Neolithic temple complex, is without parallel in Western Europe. Yet for decades, it was actually thought to be just a hill made of glacial moraine. In fact, the place is entirely man-made and covers more than 6 acres, which is around about 2.5 hectares of land. Two great walls, several metres high. I have to say, by the way, these several metres high walls have gone now, otherwise that would have been quite hard to miss, had been built straight across a neck of land between two lochs. There was no way you could pass along the Ness without going through this complex. And within these walls, a series of temples had been built, many on top of older ones. The place seems to have been in use for over 1,000 years, with buildings going back for all that time. More than a dozen of the temples have already been uncovered, though only about 10% of the site has been fully excavated. This wasn't a settlement or a place of the living. This was a vast ceremonial centre. The bones of sacrificed cattle, elegantly made pottery, and pieces of painted ceramic and stonework lie scattered around the site. We need to, in fact, turn the map of Britain upside down when we consider the Neolithic and shrug off this south-centric attitude, so says Card, who's now the Brodgar's Director of Excavations. 5,000 years ago, Orkney was in fact the centre for innovation for the British Isles, and ideas spread from this one place. The first groove pottery, which is so distinctive of the era, was made here. And the first henges, these earthen rings with the ditches constructed inside them, were first erected on Orkney. The ideas then spread to the rest of Neolithic Britain. Around 2300 BCE, roughly 1,000 years after construction began there, the place was abruptly abandoned. Radiocarbon dating of the animal bones suggests that there was a huge feast ceremony, with more than 600 cattle slaughtered, after which the site appears to have been flattened or decommissioned. For more information, or if you want to donate on to the dig itself, then pop along to the lovely www.orkneyarchaeologysociety.org.uk. That was www.orkneyarchaeologysociety.org.uk. Give them our regards as well. Now to Israel. Prehistoric settlement remains ranging from the pre-pottery Neolithic period, which is around 10,000 years ago, to the early Bronze Age, only 5,000 years ago, were excavated at the site of Ein Zippori in the central Galilee region during archaeological excavations conducted prior to the widening of a highway. According to excavation directors, the excavation revealed remains of an extensive settlement from the end of the Neolithic period and beginning of the Chalcolithic, belonging to the Wadi Araba culture, from the end of the 6th millennium and beginning of the 5th millennium BCE. Ein Zippori covered around 18 hectares, one of the largest, if not the largest, settlement of this culture. A multitude of artefacts have been uncovered, including pottery, flint tools, basalt vessels, and other objects. Among the flint tools that were discovered are the sickle blades that were used to harvest grain, indicating the existence of a truly agricultural economy. Trade is attested by the thin, sharp blades made of obsidian, a volcanic stone that is not indigenous to the region. In fact, the closest source is in Turkey. Just as a small aside, if you pop along to pastorizonspr.com and type in obsidian, you'll get some very recent stories looking at tracing the actual locations where this early obsidian source came from in Turkey. Ah, back to Israel now. Among those special finds at the site are a group of small stone bowls, one of which contains more than 200 black, white and red stone beads. Other artefacts include clay figurines of sheep, pig and cattle, and one stone plaque bears a carving depicting two running ostriches. These objects connect Ein Zippori with contemporary culture in Syria and Mesopotamia. Now to Spain, where the Lozoya River Valley in the Spanish mountain range of Guadarrama near Madrid could easily be called Neanderthal Valley. Well, so says paleontologist Juan Luis Arzuaga. Well, apart from the fact that actually already is a Neanderthal Valley. Anyways, scientists working at the Pinela del Val have already found 9 Neanderthal teeth, remains of fires and thousands of animal fossils, including some from aurochs. These are the ancestors of modern cattle. But these ones came with 2 meter wide horns, quite scary. They've also found rhinoceros and fallow deer. There are around 15 Neanderthal sites in Spain, in the Cantabrian mountain range, along the eastern Mediterranean coast and in Andalusia, but none on the plateau itself, where there are no limestone formations, and so therefore no adequate caves to preserve the remains. But Pinela del Val is an exception to that rule. Neanderthals presumably took refuge there to prepare for the hunt, to create tools, eat and use the site like a forward operations base when they needed to. The site, which has great potential, extends over 150 metres, and the excavation team are working in 3 distinct areas, each one covering 3 different time periods. On the floor of one area, Neanderthals must have placed the body of a child, aged around 2.5 to 3 years old, before placing 2 slabs of stone and an aurochs horn on top of it, and then setting a fire over it. It's here that they found the child's teeth, as well as pieces of charcoal, which turned up just a few days ago and which will enable very precise dating. In fact, if you've been listening to the previous stories, even more precise dating now with the latest work from Japan. Complete burials with a clear structure that allow researchers to reconstruct behaviour is in fact an incredibly rare thing in any part of the world. The 9 Neanderthal teeth discovered so far are expected to date to between 60 to 90,000 years ago, and several appeared in what must have been a hyena den as well. Teeth are the most resistant of all organic tissue. They keep better than the rest of the skeleton, and they provide lots of information about the diet, the disease, and the passage from childhood to adulthood. But most of all, they're going to tell us a story of Neanderthals somehow placing an importance on the ritual of death itself. Fascinating stuff. Well, of course, if you want to keep fascinated, then there's quite a few places you can do that. Of course, I'm going to recommend to you, what, Past Horizons? Well, of course I am. www.pasthorizons.com, where you can also stock up and repair all your tools that you've been using over the digging season. And can I remind you as well that good old BAJR, that's the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources, is still there for you, and in fact going undergoing a large revamp just now to make it even more useful for you. And of course, more can be always found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com, where you can also find a link to find an app where you can listen to this from the comfort of anywhere in the world. So thank you very much for listening to this edition of the Archaeology News, and we hope you'll be coming back to us for the next.